Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through our study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 12, which reads, "That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." And as we've been looking at this verse, we've been looking at the idea of how the Apostle Paul has been laying out some things related to that worthy walk, the practical sanctification of the believer, and how that has an impact on things in the believer's life. And as Paul's laying this out, he starts talking about some things related to God and talks about who he hath called, looking at the idea of the purpose that God has and what God has laid out for individuals. And when we look at that idea of called, the word that will often get used to tied together with it is that idea of elect or chosen that individuals have, and think that it has something to do with the idea of, you know, that God has chose certain individuals for salvation. Now, we know from the understanding of what the Apostle Paul lays out, if we go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and we see what the will of God is related to salvation here. And in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, read verse number 4, which says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Now, Paul lays out how God's will is that all of mankind would receive salvation. God wants every single individual who is living on planet Earth to be members of the body of Christ. That's why over in the book of Titus talks about how the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That everybody has access to it. It's not like back in time past where salvation was only of the Jews. All of mankind has access to this. And all a person has to do to have salvation is put their trust in the gospel message which is given to us, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And a person putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives them their salvation today. You know, this is what God wants for all of mankind to be putting their trust in. He doesn't have the idea of that he chose certain individuals to have salvation, because if he chose only certain individuals to be saved, then by the flip side of that, God chose certain individuals to not be saved. God chose them to have an eternal separation from him. So this idea of calling or election has nothing to do with the idea of salvation. And when you look at how the scriptures lay out some things related to the idea of what has been called or chosen, it's very clear that salvation could never be the idea of that. Because the very first thing that we're going to be looking at that the scriptures identify as being called, chosen, or elect, let's go over into the book of Isaiah. We'll go to Isaiah chapter number 42. And we're going to see what the prophet Isaiah is going to say related to the idea of something being, you know, in this idea, chosen, elect, or called here. And we're going to start right at verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter number 42. It says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. So Isaiah here is talking about how there's something that is being identified. This is God the Father speaking through Isaiah the prophet, talking about, behold my servant whom I am uphold, mine elect. So this servant that is being identified that's going to bring judgment to the Gentiles, that's going to bring forth judgment unto truth, is being identified as being my servant and mine elect. Now, it's very clear when we have a good understanding of what the scriptures say about who it is that judgment is going to go through, and we know that the individual who's going to be pouring out that judgment, that's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see how, if we go over to Matthew chapter number 12, that we're going to see this very passage is actually going to be referred to here, related to the Lord Jesus Christ, identifying him as this servant that Isaiah was speaking of here. When we're here in Matthew chapter number 12, we're going to start here verse number 15. It says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So here Matthew is very clearly identifying the fact that it is the Lord Jesus Christ that's being identified here as being this servant that was, you know, word elect was used over in Isaiah. You know, over here in Matthew it's saying, my servant whom I have chosen. So it, you know, these words are showing how they have this same meaning here of, you know, elect, chosen, the called here, and how that really what we're seeing is this description of that it's not salvation that's being identified, but it's the purpose or the responsibility that's being given to this individual to fulfill the plan that the Godhead has laid out from before the foundation of the world. Because before the foundation of the world, the Godhead had laid out exactly how the reconciliation of the heaven and the earth was going to occur. And the earthly program was revealed as, you know, through the prophets laying out exactly what was going on. The mystery program, the information is contained in Romans through Philemon, was kept hidden until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. But everything is going according to the plan that God, the Godhead, had actually laid out. Let's go over here to Luke chapter number 23. And we're going to see here again, speaking about the idea of the Lord Jesus Christ being identified as being, you know, called, elect, chosen here. I'm going to read here in Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 35. It says, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And we see how even the idea of the individual who's identified as being the Christ, the Messiah, is being described with this term, the chosen of God. So we see how this whole thought process keeps going on here. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter number 2. We're going to look at one more passage here that's going to be speaking about this idea of the Lord Jesus Christ being identified as being the chosen of God. And we're going to start here in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 4. Says, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And we see how in this passage that both of those words, chosen and elect, are being used to describe the Lord Jesus Christ, who is being chosen, called for a purpose, that purpose being the redemption of mankind in order to fulfill everything that had been laid out in the plan that God had established. Now, when you start looking at some of the other things that the scriptures are identifying as being, you know, the chosen, the elect, the called, let's go over back to the book of Isaiah, but we're going to go to Isaiah chapter number 45. And we're going to see the second one of these things here, you know, identified in the book of Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter number 45, let's start here, verse number 14. It says, thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains, they shall come over thee, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. We actually wanted verse 4, not verse 14. Let's read verse 4. It says, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by my name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. And that's the passage we wanted to look at, the idea of Israel mine elect, and how the nation of Israel is being identified as being this instrument that God is going to use to reconcile the earth back unto himself. So the earth that had been given to Adam of saying you're going to have dominion over the earth, Adam failed in his responsibility, and as a result of his failure, from that point on, what you see the scriptures keep laying out is all these things about God trying to do things to reconcile the earth back unto himself. He chooses out a nation that he's going to use as being the people that he's going to do this with. And that's why we see, for example, let's go over to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to Deuteronomy chapter number 7 here to see something that is going to be described about this nation of Israel. We're going to read verse 7 of Deuteronomy chapter number 7. It says, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. And we'll read verse 8 as well. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, yet the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And we see how the idea, the promises that had been made, and how God is going to be fulfilling all of the promises that he made. There's going to be a future point coming that God is going to fulfill all of those promises that had been made to the nation of Israel, to where they eventually will have the kingdom that is established through them. Let's go over into the book of Acts. And we're going to Acts chapter number 13, to where again we will see a description here related to the nation of Israel being this chosen group here. And in Acts chapter number 13, we're going to read here verse number 17. It says, "The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they were dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it." And we see how, again, he's describing how, and this is Paul now speaking here in the book of Acts, and as he's laying out some things about Israel's history, he talks about how they were chosen as a nation, and defines it about how they were chosen for a purpose in order to be doing the things that God had promised. Let's go over into the book of Romans. So Romans chapter number 11. Now when you read in the book of Romans and you look at chapters 9, 10, and 11 in the book of Romans, you see how the Apostle Paul lays out some things related to the nation of Israel, dealing with the fact of why it is that they've been set aside. He talks about what their current condition is, and then he also lays out some things about how God is going to fulfill all of the promises that had been made unto them. Now we're going to read here in Romans chapter 11, starting at verse number 25. It says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes." Now, as you see this description about Israel, you see how the promise is being made of that they're blind, they've been temporarily set aside, and it gives a time frame there when it says, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, until the point when God is going to be dealing again with the nation of Israel to fulfill all of those promises, then he will pick up again with them. They will be his people. They will be, it says, as touching the election, as touching that choosing that they had for that purpose of the reconciliation of the earth, and the instrument through which that God is going to establish his kingdom here on planet earth. Let's go over to the book of 1 Peter. We'll go to 1 Peter chapter number 5 here to describe again something that's being said about Israel here. And we'll read here verse number 13. It says, "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son." Now, you see that word church there, and all that means is that's a called out assembly. So there's a group of believers that Peter is identifying here and says that they've been elected together with you. So they've been chosen together with the people that Peter is writing his epistle to. We know from just a very basic study of 1 Peter that Peter is writing to things related to the nation of Israel, and how he's talking about this assembly that's in Babylon that has been called, they've been elect, they've been chosen for this purpose, that they're going to do exactly everything that has been said that Israel needs to do, because this is who they are. Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter number 1. And we're going to read here verses 9 and 10 of 2 Peter chapter number 1. It says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." So this idea is, as Peter's writing to these individuals, and it's the same individuals that he wrote 1 Peter unto, that he's telling them to make sure that their calling and election is sure, that this is who it is that he's writing, and that they should be doing exactly what God has laid out for them to do. Let's go over to Mark chapter number 13, to where we'll see this description that's going to be speaking of some things related to the 70th week of Daniel here. And we're going to read here starting in verse number 19 of Mark chapter number 13. It says, "For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." And then it's going to start describing some things that are going to be pointing to the signs that will happen when it is the time of the day of the Lord. Now, what we have here is, when you read through Mark chapter number 13, prior to what we had just read was the midpoints of the 70th week, the abomination of desolation. Then you see how there's this description of this, you know, as he calls it there, you know, this tribulation that's going to be happening to them, and that God is going to be shortening those days so that way the elect are going to be saved. And he says, "For the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen." So, again, confirming how those two words have the exact same meaning, and how God is going to be fulfilling the promises that have been given to these people, that he has also said that they are to be fleeing into his protection, so that way they would not have to face the things that are going to be going on. Let's go over to Luke chapter number 18. And we'll look here at one more verse describing this idea of the nation of Israel as being this elect or chosen of God here. We're going to Luke 8, chapter 18, verse number 7. It says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" So now there's this issue of that God is going to avenge the elect. He's going to be pouring out wrath on individuals who have been going against the things of God's elect, God's chosen people. You know, that ties in exactly with what you see over in the Abrahamic covenant. "I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that curseth thee." You know, that's how you see the idea that there's eventually going to be the idea of sheep nations and goat nations. That the sheep nations are going to be those who are pouring out blessings upon the nation of Israel. They're going to be part of the kingdom. The goat nations, those who have been, you know, pouring out some persecution upon the nation of Israel, they're going to be cast eventually into the lake of fire as a result of their going against the nation of Israel. And all of that points to the fact of how Israel is that chosen instrument that God is going to use to bring about the reconciliation of the earth, fulfilling the promises that he has made. Now, in our next study, we're going to look at the final three items that the scriptures identify as being the called, chosen, and elect, to see how it is that the scriptures continue to identify the fact that all of those things are not called to salvation. They're not chosen for salvation. It's all related to them being chosen to fulfill a role that God has for them in the plan that God has laid out. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday services. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live on Facebook, or how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything that you hear in these broadcasts, anything that you read on our website, anything that you hear in any of our other messages, we would love to hear from you. Our contact information is also on our website as well. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.